This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And again, welcome to EscapePodTank.com. They have everything you need to get a deprivation tank right in your house. They save you thousands of dollars, and they'll even save you $250 off if you mention the church. They'll send it right to your house. They'll come and build it for you. They're great, and thank you guys for joining us.
Oh, shit. You bad motherfuckers. Monday, February 10th, the day the devil was buried at sea. Kicking this motherfucker off, the little Judas Priest unleashed in the fucking east. Are you kidding me? So what? He's fucking a homo. So what? The singer fucking is gay. I don't give a fuck. This guy can sing. Are you fucking kidding me? It's Monday, bitches. Get the oatmeal, get the alpha brain. Pull the skin back on your helmet. Wash that motherfucker. What? Do it, Lee, you bad motherfucker. Let me see you wiggle, cocksucker. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Look at you, you sexy fuck. What's happening, baby? We gotta hit him heavy with some priest this morning to get him up and fucking started. You know what I'm saying? It's Monday the 10th. It's a little cold. People get a little retarded. Oh, it snowed. Who gives a... Get out there, you fuck.
Break it's amazing the... how nothing like now would sound like that live.
What's happening?
Nothing like Justin Bieber. Nothing like this. No. Nothing today would sound like that live.
That's amazing that you know that. This is one of the very few live... They don't make live albums at all no more.
I was surprised when you told me to say live. I was like, okay, shit.
But no. This is a live album that was taped in 1979 in Japan. Steve Runney turned me on to this fucking album, like in homeroom, wherever you go, in study hall, in high school. And I was blown the fuck away at the quality, how good it sounded. Until this day, I'd rather listen to Victim of Changes live. I'd rather listen to Diamonds and Rust live. I'd rather listen to The Sinner live. But that's just me. You know, everybody's fucking different. The Church of What's Happening Now, welcoming you. Monday, February 10th, you bad motherfuckers. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get out there. Fucking stab somebody in the fucking neck. Do something with your life. Something. You gotta do something. Fucking something. I know it's dark out there. I know you sit there sometimes and you're scared what's gonna happen to my future. You know what? Nothing if you fucking sit there in the dark in the kitchen looking at the fucking computer. You gotta get out there. What's up with you, baby? How was the weekend?
I had a pretty shitty weekend, but I'm feeling better now.
You were recuperating? See, the fucking flu escalated.
Well, I had a cough for like the last month, but I got the cold and it just threw it into fucking overdrive. And I actually went to the clinic yesterday and I'm fine now. They gave me some antibiotics. But
it's fucking crazy how this stupid flu works and how it's escalated over the years. You know, it started with a little cough in your eyes, and you get sick and a fever, and it's blown into this, like, 19 different fucking flus. And every time, you know, and every time you get on the plane, every time you go to a different car, every time these things mix, it's like these hurricanes and these things that get stronger and stronger. The flu gets stronger and stronger. Now, there's been over 100 deaths in California from the flu, and people can't put their fucking finger on it. Now, a couple of years ago, when I was living in Hollywood still, my last Christmas in Hollywood, I caught a fucking case of the flu / bronchitis / jungle funk / you know, this thing was just horrible, and it was what happened to you. It was a 6 week longer, and what happens, what people don't get is that the flu enters your body and you get sick for a few days. They have this pill that you take. If you grab the symptom the second day, that little tickle in your throat and that little, once you start getting it, if you go to your doctor, they have this pill called Tamiflu.
Okay.
That's 5 days straight. You take it 5 days straight, and it eliminates the fucking flu. It eliminates everything in your system. Your toenail fungi, your fucking eyebrow, I mean, everything. It kills it. You even get dizzy. You even feel that dizzy.
Wow.
But it kills the flu inside you. But who the fuck has the time to catch the flu and go down there? Because sometimes you just feel shitty and you pray to God you don't get the flu. But here's the problem. You get that first initial bout and it takes you down, people. And you know what? We all have jobs and, you know, life goes on. You know, after the third day, hopefully you catch it on the weekend and you don't lose that much work because not everybody's fucking, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, right? So
yeah.
You after 4 or 5 days, you start feeling better. And what happens is you get up and you go to work. And it's those days when it's really cold out in the morning, and by lunchtime it's 80 degrees.
Yeah.
So you bundle up in the morning, but then in the afternoon you go for lunch and you walk. You walking breaks a sweat, and now you leave your jacket open, and for some reason that cold air goes underneath and catches that little bit of moisture that's in your chest, whatever area. And I'll tell you what, the next fucking day, you're set off and running, and it gets worse and worse. Then your cough escalates, then your inner chest gets filled with fluid, and it's a fucking nightmare. And I think that's what people are dying from. So the secret is that once you get the flu, no matter how good you feel, the fourth day when it starts to trick you, you have to, and it's like when I told my friend Eddie Bravo got it. And I go, Eddie, don't fuck around. I guess Wednesday last week he worked out, and by Thursday or by Friday, it was full-blown bronchitis. He couldn't get on the plane. You know, I hope he's feeling better. But it's the truth, guys. Once you get this flu, you got to just chill. You got to dose it with vitamin C. And the old adage was 1,000 milligrams a day. That's before fucking Indian people and Portuguese people started jumping up and down and bringing the... And I'm not insulting nobody. I'm just saying that every day, the airports, you know... This is years ago. You know, when you take vitamin C, it just washes right out. If you eat vitamin C, the next time you pee, your body fucking, you know.
Really?
So you got to stock up on vitamin C, people, in the wintertime. You really do got to stock up on vitamin C. And all those pills that you take to prevent whatever, all those commercial fucking anecdotes. You know what? They may work. They may not work. Who the fuck are you? Try it. You know, yeah. You go into a room, there's 20 fucking kids. The flu is in there. The flu is fucking in there. When you go to the supermarket, the flu is in there. When you go to the fucking gym and you lift the kettlebells and you go in your car, you're putting the flu on your handle. Now it's on your fucking steering wheel.
I know. I mean, I felt bad. I had to go to the grocery store to get juice and tissues and stuff. I'm like, I was coughing and sneezing. I'm like, if I'm doing it, there has to be thousands of other people doing it.
You know, it's just it's a thing. And the flu, like I said, it keeps getting stronger and stronger. It's like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Every year, hurricanes are getting stronger and stronger. Well, these flu bugs are getting fucking stronger and stronger. Do you take a flu shot? I don't fucking know.
I didn't get one. Maybe I should have.
Me neither. My wife and Mercy did.
But that's another thing I noticed. Because I went to the clinic, and I have insurance, thank God, through my mom. But that's ending in July when I turn 26. And she's been bugging me to go look at, like, Obamacare and all that stuff, and I just haven't done it. And I just, out of just the Jewish in me, I asked her, how much did I save by being on insurance? She said, well, the visit would have been 80, and then I got 3 prescriptions, and I saved like $150 on that. So I can't imagine doing this without insurance these days. So
insurance, you know, and that's the other side of the spectrum, that this would have cost a person who makes $12 an hour, $15 an hour, you know, 600 gross a week, take home $450, $420, $410. This would have cost you half your check. $80 for the doctor. $80 for the...
And a CVS, and not a even CVS, a doctor.
And a real doctor. You went to a real doctor, but at a CVS who's working
at... No, it wasn't even a real doctor. It was a nurse practitioner.
Wow. Wow. So you paid $80 fucking dollars... And how much were the prescriptions?
Would have been like $200, and I paid $60, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No. Dog, insurance is crucial. And, you know, I never took advantage of it for years. I had level one. Now I'm back to level one insurance, which means I can go to rehab.
Okay.
Means I go to mental health now. I go listen to those voices in my head. you know, your deductible is lower. But I also had to be with the union. I've been with the union since 1997. So I'm going on 17 years. Every year you have to make a certain percentage of money for them to give you level one or level two insurance. After 45, and you've been with them for 10 years, you're vested.
Okay.
So you always get level two, worst case fucking scenario. So these are the things that are very important to me now that 20 years ago they weren't important to me. When you're 25, Insurance, if you get it, is great. If not, who gives a fuck? I don't plan on fucking getting sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying? When you're 25, you don't plan on fucking getting sick anyway, you know? So, but you know that we need fucking... And what are you going to do in July?
I'm going to do Obamacare. One of those things.
Did you go look at, see how much it is, yeah? For you?
No, is it expensive?
Oh, no, no, it's $42. You can afford...
I don't know, I thought it was like $100.
Yeah, it's fucking expensive.
Is it really? Like,
fuck yeah, look it up right now. It's got
to I thought it'd be like $100 a month or
no,
something.
No, you're going to go for like $210 a month.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, it's over. You're going to have to fucking walk around with a body cast on and a helmet looking straight, because I know you, you won't get insurance. You'll save the money.
Oh, if it's fucking $300 a month or something, that's going to suck.
Everybody's complaining. I know people who have three kids. I know a lady who's got three kids and a husband. She said that she just went on the webpage to check how much it would be, and it would be fucking $800, $900 a month. Oh, you're a single fucking guy. They're waiting for you.
Oh, my God.
They got a big glove with fucking glue on every finger. Stick it up your fucking culo. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how was your weekend? You had a... Your wife left?
Oh, it was brutal. I missed the baby.
Yeah.
But what are you going to... You know, listen, I always talk about making somebody's day. I made somebody's day. You know, I was really pissed. I didn't want her to go back a couple months ago because I didn't like how they wouldn't pick her up. And but you know what? Our dad's sick. You know, God knows what he's got left. I didn't want him to pass and for her to be sitting here and going, I could have gone. There's nothing going on here for her and the baby.
Yeah.
What do we do? You know, my wife works 3 days a week, 2 days a week. The other fucking days, we take her to any of the multiple parks and we go eat lunch somewhere and we walk around and we go to a mall. You know, but as far as family, I said, what the fuck, you know, go home for 10 days, get your fix, you know. Let them, I think 10 days is a little too long. I think my wife fucked up again, but that's, you know, she'll be begging me in 6 days. What do you think? She's like, come back. I think she went too long, you know. But you know what? She got bumped up. She got a first class ticket on the way there. The baby got a free ticket in first class because it was empty. You know, she flew to Nashville on a Saturday. There ain't nobody on the fucking planes.
Are you guys disappointed you won't be together for Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can't you see the pain in my heart? Who gives a fuck, lady, disappointed? The fuck? What the fuck is Valentine's Day? It's a day Hallmark made up to suck you dry.
Yeah, I know, geez.
That's all it is. It's a day Hallmark. What plans do you have? What are you going to do, take Paul out and cough in the face?
No, I'll be fine with it. But no, I dropped like 150 yesterday because I had to get stuff for Paula, my mom, and then Paula told me her mom got me something, so I had to get her mom something.
What are you taking Paula Friday night?
I don't know. We might do Saturday night. We've been talking about that because it's so expensive and so busy on Valentine's Day.
It's going to be packed everywhere, you know. And you're like, what the fuck? Well, yeah, me and Terry are really upset. Like, we were like, Jesus, we're not going to be Valentine. What are we going to do? Who gives a fuck? I told it would be, if it was slow, I was thinking of flying back.
But okay.
It's not going to work because she's flying back Tuesday. I got a podcast Monday morning. I got no time for that shit, you know. So, but it's great. You know, you see your family, but Sunday is Sunday. I got to come back. I got shit to do on fucking Monday.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy. I made their day. They called and thanked me. They said, you know, I know it's hard for you to be alone. It's not hard for me to be alone. I love it. I just think that my daughter should have a relationship with her grandfather. She should fucking know what the hell's going on. Drink something, please. Stop coughing in the fucking mic, cocksucker. You almost blew my eardrum off.
I got eight things here.
Eight things.
But,
eight things of what?
Water and soda.
Soda, what else you got? You got cough drops.
Oh, yeah.
You got the fucking blast for your throat. You got a pussy hair stuck in you. You got to eat some pussy when you got a fucking cough. That pussy juice helps. Did you know that? Look it up on Wikipedia.
Well, it says sex when you're sick helps.
Yeah, Wikipedia. Not, well, they say sex, but think about it. You're huffing and puffing. It's eating that fucking monster, that little pussy juice. Look it up. Look at Wikipedia, pussy juice. They'll say pussy juice is tremendous for the fucking flu and it kills. You don't want to swap spit and give her the fucking flu or sweat on her. It's eating that fucking muffler. There's something in that ass and that pussy that makes the flu just fucking vanish. You understand?
I wish.
I'm telling you, it's fucking fact. If I had the flu, I'd eat that fucking monkey. Sour pussy, too. 2 in the afternoon type pussy.
Oh, sour.
Not even in the morning, like 2 in the afternoon after they pissed a couple times. It's Monday, cocksucker. Where's the music? Where's Tony Bennett? You fuck. You're slipping today. It's a beautiful day to be alive. You're in it. It's a beautiful fucking world, baby.
I wanna be around.
Oh shit.
To
pick up the pieces when the farts in your fucking mouth.
Your heart.
Oh shit.
Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who.
You know, you're starting to look like Artie Lang. You
fuck.
I was looking over and I go, that looks like Artie Lang. You look like Artie Lang. You look like Artie Lang.
Not that bad.
With me.
Got the beard from here. I told you, the
who'll
wig.
Leave you,
they want to give you a wig. You know that, right? Steve Simone.
Never wear a wig.
Little toupee. Company. Where's the music? Cocksucker. Snap your fingers. Let's do this. Oh, shit. Wait to leave.
See how he does it when he breaks your heart to bits.
Let's see if the puzzle fits. Are you kidding me or what? Are you fucking kidding me or what? What's happening, baby Lee?
Nothing, dude. You know what's kind of weird? I want to get your opinion on stuff. When I was sick all weekend, I had ESPN on and I would just wake up and turn see what's happening. And two things happened this weekend.
What happened?
The guy at Oklahoma State shoved a fan, and then last night an athlete came out as gay. And I thought, I just hate how both things were handled. Because of course the athlete, it was a black athlete and a white fan, and he got suspended, and everyone was saying how terrible he was. And I mean, when you saw it, he fell, and his back was to the fan, and then the fan said something, and then he went and shoved him. And you know he said something fucking terrible. He's admitting to saying you're a piece of crap. You know he said, like, the N-word and all that shit. And then the gay guy, which is fine with me, but I'm not a fucking NFL player. Like, and no one on ESPN had the guts to say, yeah, they're not going to like it.
You know, it's great how everybody's applauding these gay fucking athletes coming out of the closet. And I applaud it, too. You know, it's great that, what do you think, nobody ever, these guys are the first guys? In the 50s and 40s, there's always some guy gay wants to dress up like a Batman. And I applaud that they come out of the closet and stuff, but what are they really doing?
They're causing a distraction, even if they...
What are you really doing?
Yeah.
You know, I love black people. Love them to death. It's Black History Month, a shout out. I love black people, but they're not going to tolerate it. If you know anything about black people, anything about black fucking athletes, is they're not going to tolerate that shit. They're not going to tolerate it. I don't give a fuck what, you know, there was rumors that Ricky Williams got traded from New Orleans because there was rumblings of the word gay.
Really?
And people said, we ain't going in the locker room with that motherfucker. You know, it's just the way it is, people. It's just the way life is. You can't blame them. They're black athletes. They don't want to take showers. They don't want to do nothing. It causes too many fucking distractions.
And even like, let's say everyone was accepting of it. Now, for the entire year, all you're going to get is reporters. What is it like having a gay teammate?
Now, what team that drafted him in the NFL?
They're no one's. He's about to go to the combine and be drafted.
Black kid or white kid?
Black. But it's just, and I'm not saying don't say anything, but it's, no, everyone is so scared on ESPN of getting fired because they had a couple people say something and they got fired really quick. Like it's just, they're in the NFL. I mean, I just imagine you being like a player and you.
Listen, if I was an NFL player, it wouldn't bother me personally. If somebody came out and said, I'm gay, I would say whatever. I'd give them a hug. I'd still block for them. I'd still throw them the ball. They're still human beings. But I'm not worried about me. It's a team effort. There's 56 or 52 people on a fucking on a roster.
And you'll be with them all year,
and
constantly.
10 people that are going to go, we hate fucking faggots. And they're going to rumble it, and it's going to grow like a fucking weed.
Yeah.
And that's just the way life is, people. I'm not here to fucking speed it up. Or to say negative comments about it. I'm just telling you, what happened to the basketball player from last year came out of the closet?
Never got picked up.
Okay, then. I'm bullshitting you people. I'm bullshitting you fucking people. So, whatever. It's great. But at the end of the day, now I keep reading something about Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
So he's back.
No. He got suspended for, first it was like 200 games. He appealed and went to one full season. And he was saying he was going to go to spring training and he was going to sue the whole league. And he finally realized that he was wasting too much money and he just took his suspension and he stopped suing everybody. And now he's going to be gone for the whole next year.
So all next year, that's it.
I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, I don't know. The Yankees don't want to pay him. They still owe him like 2 or 3 years after this at like $25 million a year. So
you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about for the players in the 50s and 60s that were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that did have to go into a locker room. And did have to hear the rumblings. And how bad they felt.
Oh, it must be terrible.
It must be terrible. So that's what you also have to consider on the other side, people. No matter what my comments or Lee's are, or the announcers on ESPN, there's two sides to this fucking coin. If you want to come out of the closet, that's fine. I'm happy for you, and you're going to get hugs, and oh my God, you're such a great... But there's another side to that fucking coin. You know, when it comes to the NBA, or the NFL, or the fucking baseball, whatever the fuck they are, it's a team.
Yeah, it's...
It's a team, and there's going to be disagreements somewhere on that fucking team about it. And you know, with the sports, it's going to be even more. They're not going to tell you about it at home. Those players that have a problem with it aren't going to raise their hands on national TV. But it's going to be a fucking problem.
Yeah. Are there any gay UFC fighters, do you think?
You know, they jump up and down each other's head. There's got to be one of them with fucking tights. There's going to be one of them that's gay. Is he going to come out? I don't fucking know, but I wouldn't put my sexual preference into this. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fighter. That's it. I'm a comedian. It's got nothing to do whether I'm fucking gay or not. I'm still going to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with who the fuck you are. You know, yes, it does. But you're a comedian.
Yeah.
That's your first label. That's your first passion. That's your job. If I was gay, it would be up to me to decide whether I want other comedians to know or I want the public to know.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But you got to remember, 60% of our choices today, it's not like 1950. You know, 1950, there was a guy on a team that had a roster, you know, a team roster of 50 people. There was one guy that was hardcore fucking gay and maybe one guy that was thinking about it. Today on a fucking team, there's 50 people. There's got to be 3 gay guys and 2 guys that are thinking about it. They may be in the closet. They want a finger in their ass while they're eating their wife. Whatever the fuck, you know, whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
So you have to respect it, you know. God knows what's going to happen with this guy. I wish him a lot of luck in the draft. You know, let's see what team he goes to. You know, you got to consider. You got to be honest with yourself. Rednecks, like those redneck football players from Texas.
Yeah.
They ain't going to go for it.
No. I know what's interesting. I was watching yesterday on TV. They had a 30 for 30 about like the 51 Dons. It was like the 1940s first integrated college football team. And they went fucking undefeated. And like they went, when they went to the South, like they would get punched in the face. And like, and when they went 9-0 and they didn't give them a ball game. And I can't imagine being discriminated like that. It must be terrible.
Especially when you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And he's a good player, too.
Especially when you're doing the right thing. I know, because if he's going drafted, he's going to the Columbines, he's got to be a tremendous athlete,
yeah,
a good fucking football player, and a good student. All these things in general, you know, you raising your hand shows a one type of bravery, you know, one type of courage. But at the other, you have to be ready for what else is going to come with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people are ready. I just don't. That's a tough thing to be on a team and for people to look at you weird and for you, you know. And I talk about it from being insecure.
Yeah.
I'm insecure without being fucking gay. You know what I'm saying? I've always been insecure, maybe because I didn't know the language when I first moved to New York City. There were so many fucking things that I was insecure about. I can't imagine being gay on a national football team, you know, and traveling to hotel rooms and these guys watching me now to see what I do at night. You know, the NFL has private investigators.
Oh, sure.
And they fucking follow you. You know, you're an investment. They're not just going to hand over $3 million to you. So it's a very, I tell you what it is. To me, it's fucking hypocritical. Because it's what society wants, but it's what society really doesn't want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure the NFL wants it, but they don't want it. Supposedly, they were going to make an announcement this year of a fucking prominent player that was gay. and everybody was pointing their fingers at Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback
of
Green Bay Packers. That's why he was accused of being gay this season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because the NFL was going to point some people out that they, you know, the NFL made an announcement that some people going to, that they were gay. It's like a cliche now. You know, that's the new fucking norm also. You know, I was telling you guys, I'll tell you that my wife wants to take the baby to a daycare where Derek from Tainted Vision takes his child. There's a fucking waiting list. It's a really good daycare.
Oh, the church.
And did I talk about this last week? It's even Jewish kids driving from Orange County, and how the church was empty on Super Bowl Sunday, and the church was at 10 o'clock, and the Super Bowl was at 3:30. You know, where the fuck were these people? So all of a sudden they weren't fucking Christians. You know, but that wasn't me to decide about. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. See what happens when you smoke weed in the morning. My decision was that how everything, especially in this town, is affected by your social status.
Yeah.
You know, being gay in Hollywood lifts your social status. So to me, sometimes it worries me. I mean, I think this way, that there's people that do certain things just to raise socially. You know, I was sitting once at the Gaucho Grill in Hollywood, and this couple sat behind me. And I couldn't believe that there was anybody gayer than this guy behind me. Like, he was the gayest man in the world. And then I figured, how did he come up with the voice and the mannerisms? And the guy he was with was trying to outdo... It was two guys trying to outdo each other's gayness.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. And I was trying to figure out which one of these guys was really straight, but was being gay just to be accepted into a social thing.
Okay.
So if you're taking it in the ass just to hang out with a bunch of people, you'd be surprised at what people are going to do in these days just to advance socially.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, is that where you came up with that joke about how, like, real faggots and stuff?
In a way, yeah. In a way, that bothered me. I grew up, when I grew up in Jersey, my mom had the bar. My mom had friends that were fucking real gay guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't act like, oh my God, but whatever. They just were a little bit effeminate, but the rest of them was manly.
Yeah.
You know,
they're still men, yeah.
Yeah, they're still men. I could see where maybe, yeah, that guy could be gay. And I would ask my mother, and she would make a joke, and we'd laugh and giggle, and, you know, they would move on. But I understood. These guys now are, like, overly fucking gay, and they can't. Nobody's that fucking gay.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you hate to think about it, because he was a good player, but everyone who came on said, he's, like, yeah, a third or fourth or fifth round pick. He's going to be a good player, but he's not, like, the star. So now you're thinking, oh, maybe he's just doing it to get his name out there right before the combine.
What position?
Like a linebacker, I think, or defensive end. He was a co-defensive player of the year for the SEC, so he's a good player. But all the people who on ESPN said, oh, yeah, he's like a third-round, fourth-round pick. So you wouldn't even notice him usually.
Hey, fucking to each his own. You know, I mean, whatever the fuck, I don't give a fuck. You just blew this on me, and I'm saying, you just dropped this motherfucker on me, and I like it.
Oh, shit.
Look at Lee talking about faggy players. No, you know, they got to deal with it, and it's a media thing also. Now, you know, when Jeremy Lin, what's his name?
The Asian basketball player?
Asian basketball player. Yeah. It opened up new doors for the NBA. So now every NBA team's over there picking up Chinese people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know that they're a fucking cash register.
Oh, fuck
they're
yeah.
They're a cash register. You know, God forbid this guy does start. God forbid this guy does go to the Pro Bowl. I would love it. You know, what would they do now? That means one, two, three. To answer your question, Liz Carmouche is gay. But she's a chick in the UFC.
Oh, yeah,
she's
the
one that's fighting Miesha Tate. So she's openly gay.
And it's weird how it's different for girls. I don't know if it's guys think it's a fantasy or something, but like, when you said that, I know Liz Carmouche is gay, but it seems different.
You know, she got tattoos and she fights, so she's got to be something other than, you know, but look at Ronda Rousey. I don't think she's gay, right? Or
I don't know.
Misha Tate's got a girl. So,
yeah.
Like I said, but she didn't make a big deal of it. She's just gay, and when she fights, it brings out a big gay.
And she was Marine, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a Marine or an Army girl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, and that's what I'm saying. It's what you let it be of you. I don't like the people, I've said this 1,000 times, that hold it against you that they're gay. Like I'm gay, I'm better than you because I'm gay, or I'm better than you because I tell people that I'm gay. Like, I tell somebody a secret. I tell somebody a secret, too. I was hooked on blow for 26 fucking years. I tell somebody my ass smells funny. I tell people secrets fucking, too. What's the matter, Lee? Everything all right over there?
Yeah, everything's great.
You're uncomfortable. You're all right.
I'm perfect.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're moving around.
No, it's no. I understand what you're saying. Like, it's though the people who like I'm really impressed with like the soldiers. Like, there's a lot of gay soldiers who had to go through the don't ask, don't tell, and they never seem to be the ones who are flaunting it.
How does don't ask, don't tell work?
I think that's gone now. I think in the last year or two it got rescinded, and they were upset about it for a little bit, but before, like, Clinton put it in, and it's just you just don't. We're not going to ask you about it, and don't really publicize it, and then you're fine. Because before that, they weren't even allowed in, and I think Obama rescinded it, and now you're allowed to be like legally like gay in the army and stuff. And some of the old guys were really upset about it, but I don't think there hasn't really been any stories about it.
You know, I crack jokes on it, but it doesn't bother me. If somebody's gay, like I said, I just don't like when people look down on me. Like, I'm gay. It's like the same people say to me, you know, I'm clean 30 years. You know, like, when I go, hey, you want to smoke a joint? And they'll try to be cool by making you feel a little bad about, well, I've been clean and sober from drugs for 9 years now. I don't even eat sugar. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
So, who gives a fuck what you do? I asked you a question, if you wanted to smoke this or not. That was the fucking question.
Yeah.
So, I'm the same way when it comes to a lot of fucking topics, you know, that... You know, and by the way, you know how many fucking emails I answered last night?
How many?
93 fucking emails.
In 1 week?
And 70 of them were about addiction.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it's time for me to write that book, to write that book on addiction, because it does strike a big... Everybody's fucking hooked on something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's fucking hooked on something. It's really... It's either the fucking pills, and I think of different chapters. Like, I was outlining different chapters and how my addiction grew, and how there was one point where I liked to bring party with six or seven people, and then there was one time where I just wanted to be alone. And if I brought a girl over, sometimes you bring a girl over, and all of a sudden on the way over, she'd go, I text a friend of mine, she went, no, I might as well tell you no. I don't want nobody else over there. It's either you, me, or you could stay home. I got enough blow for me alone, and I'm cutting you in. You know, it's really weird how your addiction works. So I'm happy that there was a lot of people who said that they didn't even know why they were telling me this in their emails. So I'm really happy that you wrote the emails. That means that you took the first fucking step.
That's awesome.
And that's taking the first fucking step sometimes is being honest with yourself and saying, hey, man, this is what I got. Ooh, who shot that fucking duck, Lisa? Yeah, when was the last time you shot a duck like that, huh?
Oh, I had some crazy farts this weekend.
Sure, that Mediterranean, that hummus, oh, and the I fucking juicing.
I love calling you and telling you I'm going to Mediterranean.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to have some meat and some salad. You're going to eat the fucking hummus.
No, it's fucking good.
And the
it's
potato
Greek
chips
salad.
And the stop with the Greek. And what's on it?
On the Greek salad?
Don't forget about me, Vicky. Yeah, right now. Yeah, it's 6:45. Bye.
What? Yeah. It's rice, grilled steak, a little bit of Greek salad, and some hummus. That's it.
And what else you eat over there?
That's it. They have chicken too, but I get the steak.
But don't they have a dessert, like a flying fucking Greek cake or something that flies through the air and you catch it?
Not really. They might have baklava over there, but that's
how many times do you eat that Mediterranean food a week?
It used to be like two or three times. I used to live right across the street from it. But now it's like maybe once or twice every couple months.
You're once or twice a day over there. Well, once or twice a week.
If I lived closer. If we had gotten the office right next to it, I would have been there over there every day.
You like it that much?
It's delicious. It's grilled steak or grilled chicken.
And you eat the same shit every day.
Yeah, it's healthy. It's rice and fucking salad. Jesus.
Rice and salad. That's what you're trying to fucking tell me. What's going on, Vicky Pezza?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm sitting over here crossing this fucking Jew telling me that, you know, he eats that fucking hummus and that Mediterranean food and it's good for you. And I know that shit's got to fuck up your asshole somewhere along the line. Some other guy was on my email page the other day on my fucking Twitter page talking about halal meat. What the fuck is halal meat? H-A-L-A-L meetup.
It's like Muslim kosher.
People drive from New York, from Jersey. And I had to stop them. I'm like, I don't know what fucking part of Jersey you're from. My friends don't drive over the fucking city to eat no halal meat. So get it together, cocksucker. Oh, yeah, we know we don't. We don't. Why would I drive over there when I got the best fucking pizza in my neighborhood?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no. There's no need to drive over for food. There's no lack of food in New Jersey.
I talked to my brother George this morning. And this is a kid that I've known for 35 fucking years. I love him with all my heart. But once a week, he fucking disgusts me by his fucking food choices living in New Jersey. Because, like I said, I got three restaurants right in my fucking... I could walk to the world class. Chinese food, Chan's Dragon, you got the fucking Rudy's Calamari, where they got the chicken white wine, they got the pasta and all that shit. It's been there for 40 fucking years. We used to walk up there in high school, Vicky Pezza. And then you got this place, Gilberto's Cuban Food. Just tremendous. And every fucking time I talk to George, once a week he depresses him. Like yesterday, he said he went to some El Salvadorian food and ate pupusas in West New York, New Jersey. If I could fucking stab him, I would stab him right in the fucking neck. But what are you going to do, Vicky Pez? I got problems. You know what I'm saying? What's happening, you sexy savage? Tell me something good.
Oh, my God. How are you guys? Yeah, and, like, back in Belleville, there was, like, this deli, like, at the end of the block. Like, you could walk and get amazing food. I can't find, like, a good deli in L.A., like, where it's close enough for me to get my cold cuts and salads and things like that. Like, I just go to the supermarket now.
Well, Ralph's has cold cuts. They got the Thumans, which is whatever the fuck they call out here. But the problem with those motherfuckers is two things. They don't know how to slice the meat. They slice it too thick. And they don't know how to package the meat. You're supposed to package it with paper. That's what keeps it fucking fresh. It keeps the American cheese fucking folding. You go to Ralph's, the cheese lasts two fucking days because they cut it like it's thick, like it's a bulletproof fucking cheese. It's not going to get shot in a sandwich. And they fuck, you know, it's amazing. Now I go to Gelson's and I get the cold cuts. Here's the difference. They package the cold cuts distinctively. They slice them thin. They're impeccable. I can go home right now and get the cold cuts I got on Friday, the cheese. It still bends in your finger. You know me. I'm yellow American all the way to the fucking death. These fucking, these confused Gentiles, they eat this fucking cheddar cheese. Let me catch somebody eating cheddar cheese around me.
What's wrong with you?
I'm going to fucking stab them. That's for fucking Gentiles. All right? But people who their last name is Smith. You don't eat that shit, Lee, okay? You eat American cheese, yellow. If you have to eat the beige, whatever. But you go for the yellow. Why fuck around? Cheddar cheese is for people in the Midwest who see wings once a month and they jump up and down. Cheddar cheese, you know. So.
And you want that yellow American thinly sliced.
Thinly sliced. It's got a bend in your finger.
Right. You end up with one big clump of cheese stuck together.
Thank you.
Instead of some nice thin slices.
Thank you. These fucking savages don't know dick. It just fucking kills me.
I gotta tell you, my favorite thing that you bring up is the ranch dressing and how just fucking out of hand it is here.
Destroying, and then they wonder why they're dying of cancer and their kids are a bunch of faggots walking around getting beat up and shit because they drink that fucking ranch asshole dressing. That's all that is ass wash. For yeast, it's like if an asshole got a yeast infection, that's what it'd be, ranch fucking dressing. So next time you put on your french fries, you fucking jerk offs, or on your wings, think of fucking an asshole leaking from getting fingered all weekend at a fucking... disgusting. Fucking disgusting.
There's already the perfect condiment for that sort of thing. It's called blue cheese, and that's how you eat buffalo wings, and that's the end. There is no discussion, because there's no other way to do it.
Listen, dog, I've been going, me and my wife, they got this new lunch fucking deal over at Artie Morton's. They got a lunch deal for $29.95, you get three courses, but that's one lunch deal they have. Then they have this lunch deal, they got like a $12 menu, and they got a prime rib sandwich, and they got a cheeseburger, which fucko got over there. On a Friday, and they got all this shit. Well, what was I gonna say here? What's wrong with me today? What the
was
fuck?
Was it the $10 grilled cheese?
$10
grilled
cheese.
That's what you were really excited about when you saw it.
But it's so weird how everything I go in there for is tremendous, Vicky Pez. They don't have this shit no more. I can't go anywhere where I feel at home with the menu A to fucking Z. I think that's what I was gonna say. I don't even know. Who knows?
Right. I know, like, everything's like a, like you're negotiating, like you're settling, like things are good, but it's not great. you don't have that nice comfort like you would back home.
No. I like, you know, it's funny how now, for years, when I came out here, Vicky Pez, I had a friend that was a publicist, and she asked me once if I had a resume, and I go, a biography, a bio, and I go, not really. And she goes, let me write it for you. And I told her where I was from. And the next day she gave me the bio. And it said from Hell's Kitchen, New York. And I said, but I'm not from Hell's Kitchen. I'm from Jersey. Why'd you put that down? And she goes, it's not cool being from New Jersey. She goes, it's not. Nobody, she goes, except for Springsteen and Bon Jovi. And that was years ago. Nobody knows who the fuck Jersey is. Now Jersey's everywhere. We got the Cake Boss. We got the Sopranos. We got the fucking Mob Chicks. The fucking, what's the name of that show? Mob Wives, which is fucking disgusting. I tried watching it 2 weeks ago. I couldn't stop laughing. But it's amazing how everything's pointed at New Jersey now. They had the fucking Super Bowl in New Jersey. How desperate were those poor fucking people?
Oh, my God. And that, even watching that, like, every time someone was saying New York, and I get it. It's because of the Giants, and I get it, and we've been dealing with that our whole life. But it's like, they are not in New York. They are in Rutherford, New Jersey. Get it? Right. And, oh, my God, they must have been freezing their asses off.
What a fucking nightmare that must have been. People who were, like, proud. Yeah, I was at the Super Bowl in Jersey, freezing like a fucking Momo. You had to wait for a train that never came in the fucking darkness. You couldn't get on Route 3 unless my buddy Steve Avila, who I loved, had a did a show at a bar behind the Meadowlands. Those poor bastards. The guy charged $60 a ticket. Or you could eat, but you still had to pay for your cocktails. They had like 10 fucking people. They had to get there 3 hours before the show and then wait till the Super Bowl's over. So their whole day was ruined. Their whole fucking day was ruined because they couldn't go nowhere on Route 3 because they closed it down. I thought that was the worst idea ever, having the Super Bowl in fucking New Jersey. I didn't like it. Rogan had a show and he asked me 10 times to come back and I was like, not in a million fucking years. I definitely thought there was going to be terrorism.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's such a weird area, like, near that stadium. If you guys listening don't know it, it's so, like... I don't even want to say industrial because it's not. It's almost like swampy. It's weird over there.
It's swampy meets industrial. It's swampy meets industrial. It's all East Rutherford, Moonaki, Sea Caucus. Let me tell you something. They used to, when I was a kid, there was a place in Moonaki called Segovia. It's still there. It's a Spanish joint. It's like paella and shrimp and garlic sauce and cream of shrimp soup. Look at Lee. Your asshole would go on fire there. I remember going there in 1982 and getting the surf and turf, and the steak would fall off the dish with the fucking lobster tail. And it was in such a shitty fucking area. It was in such a shit fucking area. And let me tell you something about Moonaki, New Jersey. It's like the Twilight Zone. The ugliest people in the world live in Moonaki, New Jersey. Everybody's got a big head. Everybody's got a 2 foot fucking plus length head. It's fucking amazing. It's like they all got shot with radioactive waste. Something is not right in Moonaki, fucking New Jersey. I don't want to do nothing behind there. And they just opened up another comedy club in Sea Caucus. I mean, that area is fucking booming. That area is fucking booming right now.
Yeah.
The hotels weren't ready. They were like Sochi. The hotels were like in Sochi and shit. Because they were building a bunch of hotels by Newark, but they couldn't get them finished for the fucking Super Bowl. So it was like they were giving people fucking brown water at the hotels. And I get it. I get it. And now, you know what kills me about New Jersey? Get all this political backwash with the fucking governor, which, you know, the rest of the country acts like, oh my God, what the hell's going on in New Jersey? Stupid motherfuckers. This has been going on for the last 3,000 fucking years in New Jersey.
It's so hilarious to me
that they make it.
When that bridge thing first came out, all right, first of all, my reaction was like, that's hilarious, which is the wrong reaction to have, you know, where it's like, oh, man, he really went for it, you know, it's so blatantly corrupt, but this is nothing new at all. I mean, Corzine was very corrupt also. That's why you have a Republican in power in the first place in New Jersey. It's business as usual. What I think it is like Christie probably seems like a pretty good Republican contender for the next election, and shit's getting started now. It's so funny to me that any New Jersey politics would be such a nationwide story.
They're lucky they weren't paying. They're lucky there was no internet when I was growing up. They're lucky that there weren't national, you know, besides Reuters and stuff like that, there really weren't big national networks that you caught the news. You know, they really picked and choose. Sorry about me and Lee coughing. Lee's got the flu. He ate some badass.
Oh no!
And I just got fucking reefer fucking throat and from smoking weed all fucking week, and I gotta stop. But it's amazing how I've been turned off to life's politics because of the politics I encountered at an early age in New Jersey. You see what I'm saying to you? Like when
really?
I hear something about some politician now, it's very so what to me because of what I grew up around.
I get it though. I do get it. It's a little bit laughable. You know, just the way everyone made such. And I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I think I agree with you where it's like, I guess I'm just numbed to what a big deal it is, which I guess isn't good.
It's laughable but sad because I look at somebody like my wife. I look at somebody like my wife who was raised to respect the flag and raised to respect the country, just how I was. And once you see that type of stuff, it's not that you lose respect, it's that you lose that glee in your eye. Like when I see her talking about the American political system, she still has faith. She still has a hope. Where for me, I know it's a bunch of thieves with suits on. It's just a different way of robbing and corrupting. You want your fucking vitamin to pass? You want it to get FDA approval? Give me $300,000 for my campaign. I'll talk to them, and then we'll shut them down if they don't. It's all fucking money in politics. It's advertising without the fucking advertising. And the people that are involved in this are decent people. It's people that we've done business with for hundreds of years, whether it's a vitamin company or an aspirin company. So they're all, you know, once you see what politics is really about, how the money changes and how a bill gets passed or how it doesn't get passed, and that's what most Americans don't know. We take that thing for granted. When you see these e-cigarettes, for example, okay? Let's start with these e-cigarettes, for example. You know, this has probably been going on for 6 or 7 years. Somebody went to a doctor and said, I devised a way to make an e-cigarette. Now, who's the first people that would shut you down if you put together an e-cigarette? The e-fucking people, the cigarette people.
Right, the tobacco lobby. They don't want that.
Yeah, so who are they going to go to? A cop? Who are they going to go to? The mafia to beat you up?
They're going right to Congress.
They're going right to Congress and say, shut that down. And then these people went away, but they had to get enough voices to say this is healthy or unhealthy for you. So, yeah, this is a healthy product for you in a way, but guess who owns this when you look at the paperwork? Marlboro.
Right. And now they've found a way to bring smoking back to being advertised on television, and now you have Stephen Dorff and Jenny McCarthy essentially smoking cigarettes on TV, but now there's a loophole.
It's amazing how things change because the people who have the money to do this aren't your small business owners to pass these laws. You know, when I pass a zoning for me to have my waste from my warehouse to be dumped in some river, you know, even though we know that that's harmful products that you're pumping into that river. But for a payout, I'll look the other fucking way because my kids don't drink out of that fucking river.
Right.
So once you see politics for what it is, you get, I don't know what you get to it. You get kind of, like you said, you get kind of numb to it. And it breaks my heart because what my wife reacts to, I wipe my ass with. I look at her and go, are you serious? Are you fucking serious? Don't you see the fucking move here? And she'll look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, let me tell you, let me break it down for you. And then she'll go, you're so cynical. Is that the word people use? They'll say you're such a cynic or whatever. No, I'm not a cynic. I'm telling you because I grew up around this. And then a year later, when the ship backwashes, you go, look, didn't I fucking tell you?
Right. True.
What else is going on, Vicky Pez?
It's true. Oh, man. I don't know. I almost slept too long for this.
What
There's
time?
That.
Trust me, I almost fucking slept too long. I went to bed at like 10:30.
I smoked too much yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I got pretty high last night, and I went to bed at 10:30. And I got up at 3 the first time. Then I got up at 4, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get up in 38 minutes. And I got a new alarm. I used the alarm on the iPhone, which sounds like the world's going to end. Have you been woken up by the alarm on the iPhone? You think the world's going to end. It's like 3 degrees worse than a fire alarm. It's like, dun, 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 dun. You wake up, the whole hotel is banging up. I mean, I put it on in the hotel one night when I fucking left the room. I could see people like perturbed. It went on like a 5 and 6. It's a horrible alarm, the iPhone. You don't want it to go off. You sit there, fuck. Like, if you wake up an hour before the alarm goes off, you're like, fuck, I'm just going to sit up and wait for this thing, because I don't want this thing to go off. It sets my central nervous system into a fucking complete oblivion. So,
right.
I didn't want to get up this morning either. I wasn't in a fucking mood either. What do you got coming up with Uncle Sam? Sam called in last week, and it was a real pleasure
to
get him on.
Yeah, listen to it.
He's a good dude, Sam Tripp.
I listened to you guys talk about, you know, like your back in the day stories. It was really, really great to think of Sam as like a young punk kid. I just find that awesome.
It's amazing that these guys were young when I moved here. And they're still young, you know. I was 30-something when I moved here. And now I'm fucking 50, right? So if I've been here 17 years, I pretty much got here when I was 33 years old, guys. Like, that's fucking long in the tooth, Jack.
But that's so encouraging to see the things you do now. It's amazing, you know?
I got it.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, did I wait too long? I got here when I was, like, 26. I've been here, like, 6 years. And I'm always like, oh, man, like, I wish I came sooner. Like, I wish I came, like, right out of college. But honestly, I don't know if I would have even known what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like, that might have been too young. I might have just fucked it up in a few months or a year and been right back home by now.
It's amazing what you could and what you can't handle at a young age. And
yeah.
I've seen it here. You know, I shot a couple of parts. The other night I was sitting there watching TV, and I caught on Carlito's Way, the sequel they did. Did you ever see that movie? Fucking horrific. Fucking horrific. And the beauty of it was that they spoke to me about that movie. I shot the pilot for Louis Guzman at Fox. And the same producer, Marty Bregman Jr., who was on that pilot, shot that movie. And right then, I remembered, oh my God, they talked to me about this fucking movie. I didn't even know they made the fucking thing. So naturally, I wanted to see who played a young Al Pacino. There was some Spanish kid, but there was a girl in the movie who was also in the pilot. And I'll never forget that there was 20 fucking people there dressed in suits and women with nice dresses that worked at Fox to see this girl.
Right.
Like, she was the next big thing. She was the next Jennifer Lopez. She was Puerto Rican. She was from New York City. She was beautiful. She had that white look to her. She had straight hair so they could do shampoo commercials with her. I mean, it was fucking amazing. Her agency was there. They were 30 deep. There was a black kid in the pilot who I saw years later in The Sopranos. Him, too. They told him to be the next Eddie Murphy. There was people there to see him. Guess what? Where the fuck are these people today? So right from that chair, I saw that girl, and I was like, what the fuck happened to that girl? And I got up, ran to the computer, and put IMDb on. She hasn't worked since 2006. That was the last thing she did.
Holy shit.
You know, there was a girl when I fucking got here that was at a somebody from CBS or one of those companies was in New Orleans for a golf tournament. And they put the TV on there in their hotel room, and she was on national access. What's that, local access TV? And they saw her, and within 3 days, they had her in Hollywood. They gave her $500,000. They flew her family out to fucking L.A. because my buddy was friends with her. And he was telling me the story about what happened. And I'm like, what? And here I am at the store every night doing blow and fucking, you know, and I can't even get arrested. And here's these girls that this court girl was 19 to 20 years old. So they grab her up here. They bring her up here. NBC throws her on Saturday Night Live. She doesn't make the cut, but they throw on a sketch show on Fox. Some sketch show, either the one Shane Battash was on or one of those 10 years ago. Well, the fucking show went into two seasons. This girl had over her thing that she was a princess.
Entourage?
Where you change. Her whole dressing room was like designed to be a castle. And she was a princess and all this shit.
Oh,
guess
my God.
What? Bitch, the show got canceled. And that bitch gained 80 fucking pounds. I just saw her on Hollywood Boulevard with a kid, fat with a fucking guitar. And now she takes photographs for a living. She's like a headshot photographer for a living. And I sat here and I said, and I remember that girl couldn't handle it. There's people who can't handle that success at that young age. It's too much for them. So
can
in a way,
imagine if you came out here in a way where it was like, we're going to bring you out and your family, and here's money, and here's already a job. And can you even imagine the fall from that? Like in your head, you're thinking like,
that's it.
This
I've
is
made
what Hollywood's all
yeah,
about.
This is what it's all about.
Like, this is my life now. And it's like, no.
You know how many fucking comedians I saw at the store when I was fighting for my life that they gave deals to? Gave them $500,000. And these guys are now gone, broke, back in their hometown. Because $500,000 after taxes, $250,000. You still got to pay your fucking commissions.
Right.
Which is nothing. And now you buy a house. You're like, fuck it, I'm buying a house. You buy a house out here and the deal don't get picked up. You know, it's amazing. It's fucking amazing what happens to people. You know, that's why people, they talk about this poor Justin Bieber kid. And I shouldn't say poor Justin Bieber, but they don't understand what happens to you. They don't understand the creepiness that goes with, it's not just the money. It's the creepiness.
Right.
It's what you see people, you how you see people react in this town. You know, I see people sometimes, how I'll go into a 7-Eleven, all of a sudden one person will look at me and go, oh my God, you're the guy from Grudge Match. Holy shit. And I'm like, guy, relax. I just robbed a bitch 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just fucking stole coffee at the airport. And you're jumping up and down over some fucking fat dude that was in some fucking dumb movie. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing the respect we give these people. So I can't imagine someone like Justin Bieber, who gets on a plane and the fucking stewardess wants to take a picture of him for her niece. And you must have this power and this sense of entitlement.
And to get that so young, and like him and Miley Cyrus, and where it's like you're already a multimillionaire before you're 18 years old, and everyone knows you, and everyone loves you. They all want pictures. They all want to party with you. I can't imagine having access just to that kind of never-ending fucking party at that age. I can't imagine that I can handle it better. I don't know how they can come out and perform in these situations that they're in. It's like as kids.
And what do you mean that age? 10 years ago, if I was doing what I was doing now with the podcast with Lee, I'd miss at least 3 podcasts a month. 10 years ago, at the age of 40. I still couldn't keep it together. Because I do that last line of coke at 5:45 and then call you and go, Lee, I'm sick. No podcast for it. Call Vicky Pezza. You know, I couldn't do anything. So it's not even the age of 19 or the age of 21. I know grown men that couldn't keep it fucking together. You know, this fucking idiot, I just seen him last night in the movie Heat. What was that idiot's name that hooked up with the fucking madam and went off the fucking... You know who I'm talking about?
Charlie Sheen or Sizemore?
Tom Sizemore. You know, look what happened to adults in this town. Look what happened to Michael fucking Jackson. The guy was 50 and he was inhaling fucking shit that they give to people before they have surgeries and shit like that.
That's crazy. Like I'm sorry. That's access to drugs that you wouldn't even think of, like to have your own anesthesiologist on hand. who the fuck thinks to even do that? But billionaires like Michael Jackson, they can do this kind of shit.
So the other hand,
it's so hard to say, like, oh, I'd be able to handle it, because you don't know.
No. And then I look at people like, let's say Brad Pitt. Let's say George Clooney. If I was right. Brad Pitt, do you know the things I would have done to women in this town? If I look like Brad Pitt, do you have any, after 3 years of people, women going up to you saying, you're fucking gorgeous, because that's what you tell Brad Pitt, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I can't. It's like when you see that girl at a strip club and she's half naked as a man and you lose your mind and you go up to them and you go, you're fucking hot and I want to suck your fucking twat. You say something disgusting. Women have to say something disgusting to Brad Pitt. I mean, I can't. I'm thinking from the other side of the spectrum. I'm thinking to if I was a woman and I saw a man who looked like Brad Pitt come into a fucking bar and I had three cocktails and a line of blowing me, and a grandma blow in my pocket. What would I say to Brad Pitt? I'd go up to him and go, honey, you're fucking gorgeous. And if I had 10 minutes, I'd suck your fucking cock. After you have women say that to you, eventually you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to go out and get for myself five women tonight. I'm going to lay them all down. I'm going to sprinkle coke on them. I'm going to fuck them, light them. You know, I'm just going to do shit. But he never lost it. So I have to give a guy like him, a guy like George Clooney, a guy like Andy Garcia, who you never really read anything negative about.
Right.
You never really, even Andy Garcia was here at a young age. Brad Pitt was here at a young age. You know, there's a way to handle yourself and there's a way not to handle yourself. There's a way to, if you want people to see you and know your business, people will know your business. If you don't want them to know your business and you don't want the paparazzi to see you, the paparazzi won't fucking see you. You know, what's that fucking moron, Pirate of the Caribbean? I love him.
Johnny Depp.
I love that fucking dude. But here's a guy that badmouths America. Remember when I'm going to England because of the United... Well, you were out every night, guy, on Sunset.
Yeah, like, didn't he own the Viper Room?
He owned the fucking Viper Room for a while.
He owned it, like, when River Phoenix was, like, you know, dying from a speedball. Like, you know, you're immersing yourself in a very specific American culture there, Johnny Depp. So, yeah, maybe you can burn out on that.
It's so weird.
I enjoy it here quite
You know, Vicky Pezza, when I came here, I didn't have any dreams of stardom. I never wanted a limo. I don't want to be in a convertible. I don't want people calling me Mr. fucking Diaz. You know, can I get you a water, Mr. Diaz? Is there anything I can do? I hate all that fucking nonsense. It drives me. I couldn't imagine having a personal assistant. Did you know that? I couldn't imagine. Once I come to you, Lee, and I go, I need a personal assistant, just stab me. Just slice me in the neck from behind. I understand. When I'm in the hospital stitching up, I'll look at you and go, Lee, you suck dick. And you go, no. You told me to stab you. If you ever thought about having a personal assistant, I'm your friend and I'm just stabbing you because you told me to fucking stab you. You can't press charges on me. Remember what I'm saying to you. I never
remember this episode number, Lee, just in case.
I never understood.
This is evidence.
I'm writing it down right now.
I never understood all the things, the importance, that the self-importance that they put on themselves. You know, and people get mad at me sometimes. Like, the church of what's happening now is not about what's happening now. It's about, sometimes you talk about your past. Well, the past is what keeps you honest. I don't ever want to go back to addiction. I don't ever want to go back to prison. I don't ever want to go back to living in a one fucking room apartment with my wife with nine cats, you know, and two air conditioners and DirecTV. We were living like Puerto Ricans. You know, we had a great apartment, but, you know, I don't ever want that. And that's why you have to keep those things so close to your rearview mirror, because you never want to go through those things fucking again. You know, I never want to go through that drug addiction I had again. Never, ever, ever do I want to think that I have to get in the car and go to Hollywood at 3 in the morning and get a package of coke. Or I couldn't do it again. I don't think I had the heart to do it again. So that's what it's all about, Vicky Pezza.
Oh, man.
Aren't you happy you're not a fuck-up?
Yeah. I mean, that is one thing, like, with drugs, you know, that I see here. It's like, man, it is such a fine line between, like, you can have fun, and how some people it just grabs them and it won't let go, to the point where it's like you can't. Some people, man, they can't have a sip of beer, they can't have a puff of a joint, because that will just send them into this domino effect of very fucking bad things.
With me, it was 3 drinks.
Yeah, that's the line.
With me, I would walk in. You know, I started in 79. I didn't drink. And then I realized one day, after like 2 years of doing blow and not getting high, that I had a drink to get high. So then I would have a drink with the cocaine. And then I said, fuck it. Right. I wouldn't do coke. I'd just have a drink. I can't go to a bar and not be sociable. So I'd have my first.
Right.
In those days, I'd drink like Southern Comfort and orange juice or Dewars on the Rocks. The second one would be enjoyable, but by the third one, I needed blow. You know, that's when
right.
And then I said to myself, I can't believe I knew what I was doing from the beginning. I was feeding the fucking fire. I'm not a fucking idiot. We're not idiots. We know exactly what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical how an addiction grows and it becomes something else, and it becomes something else. We spoke about this last week after the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing. And you see it here. You see it here. Oh, my God. Because let me tell you something, Vicky Pez, and I know you've noticed this. In the 6 years you've been here, there's a very thin line between talent and mental illness.
Yeah. I've definitely noticed that.
You go to the store on a fucking Monday night for open mic. You know, you go to the Haha for an open mic. You go to a couple of these open mics. You know, I went to a farmer's market last week and there was a girl singing. I'm surprised somebody didn't hit her with a truck. I'm really surprised somebody didn't hit her with a fucking pupusa truck or run her over. And I didn't say nothing. It was my wife who turned to me and said, look at that lady. She's 3 days away from getting picked up. And it was sad.
Yeah.
There's a thin line between a genius and mental illness, which we know, but it's also talent and mental illness. If you come here, it's fucking close. It's fucking very thin. And then you see the desperation. And that's mental illness.
Yeah. It's the weirdest combination, like personality. When you come here and it's like there's a lot of talent and there's a lot of issues, and then you're the shit that you're subjected to on a daily basis. I just don't feel like a lot of people could live like that, because it's a lot of rejection, it's a lot of disappointment, but then there's also like really high highs. Like, really good things will happen, and it's just the struggle to, like, keep that going, or keep that high going, or you know, you always try to get the good things to outweigh the bad things, and you start throwing, you have a lifestyle like that, and you start throwing, like, you know, mental issues in there, or emotional problems, or addictions, and it's a crazy stew of just fucking anarchy.
I'm very lucky to have made the progress I did. I was a working addict. You know, I was one of those people who could still have an addiction and work and continue it. I wasn't doing, you know, while you're doing it, you're like, I'm giving my life 100% of my life, but you know that you're really not.
Especially in hindsight.
Yeah, I was giving my life really 50% of it. The other 50% of that talent was being wasted thinking about the powder and thinking about mm-hmm. how I was going to put together my next high. And I'm very fortunate that I snapped out of it. I'm very fortunate that I ended up going to a rehab. You know, when I first moved to L.A., the building I lived in with Josh Wolf was a very active building. It was 1740 North Vista. 1440 North Vista, something like that. It was right behind El Compadre, across from the Guitar Center on that block.
Oh, wow, nice.
Right, that block. And that block was hell. That block had hot chicks. That block had fucking hot guys, but what it had was drug dealers. And on the building I lived at, the third floor was a coke dealer, like a tremendous coke dealer, like a real, this is what his family did, a Mexican kid that had long hair. And he went out every night and he slung drugs. Then on the second floor was a real weed dealer. He was a promoter of black clubs, but at the same time, that was his main money, was dealing high-level Jamaican weed. But on the first floor lived a girl, a lesbian couple, that they were on heroin. And they were both trust fund babies that had come out here, trust fund girls that had come out here. and they were both on heroin, and I used to have conversations with them by the pool. And it was amazing what I learned from watching these two chicks. Like, they wouldn't take showers with soap because it would take the it would clean their pores, and they didn't want their pores to be clean.
Oh my God.
They wanted their pores to be clogged so they couldn't sweat the heroin out.
Oh my God.
It was fucking amazing, the things they used to tell me, how they would use chocolate to activate. I don't know all the stuff. I don't know that lifestyle. And then it dawned on me, like, they were like, I go, where do you guys get the heroin? Do you go downtown? Do you go to a Mexican neighbor? And they go, no, two blocks away in Hollywood. And I go, what if that guy's closed? And they're like, when we go to the other, two blocks other direction in Hollywood. And
right.
They were telling me how there was a very big heroin neighborhood in Hollywood that nobody knew about.
That's crazy.
When you look at all the reports about cocaine, they say that, I forget how many tons come into the country monthly of cocaine. But me and my coked out delusion one night, I cut that up. And it's like broken down into eight balls. It's like 30 million fucking eight balls a month a state would have to do. Somebody's doing these fucking eight balls. The same thing with this meth we read about. There's tons of meth being produced. Somebody's doing it. We may not know these people. Just because we don't know them doesn't mean it's not going on. It's like when you open up the fucking newspaper in the mornings and there's a DUI and a family of six gets killed by a drunk driver. Just because you don't know those people, you say to yourself, that's never going to happen to me. It's us. That's us. We're connected in some way or another. It's the same thing with drugs. Just because we don't have friends that do meth, or we're not. There's a meth circle. Somebody's walking around with fucked up teeth. And bad breath. Right.
And it's freaky because you read, for me at least, when I read about Philip Seymour Hoffman, I was shocked. Like, it never would have dawned on me. Like, he's the last guy I would have ever thought would die from overdosing on heroin. And then it makes you think to yourself, well, do I really not know people like this? Or are there people like this all around me? And maybe my friends, maybe people I see all the time, and I just don't know this is what they're doing.
I have three or four friends, Vicky Pez, I know for a fact are on tremendous amount of pills, that we don't even discuss it. I don't even discuss it with them. I love them that much that I don't really give a fuck, but I know for a fact. I know that two of them are in AA. So they're not drinking, but the doctors are giving them other pills to cope with things. Which, again, I'm not mad at. I'm an insecure fucking pussy. I smoke dope all fucking day. But don't tell me you're clean and you're doing pills.
Right.
You know, the biggest problem we have in this country right now is not the cocaine. It's not the heroin they're pushing on you. It's prescription fucking pills. No matter how the fuck they slice it. Prescription fucking pills are destroying our fucking society. It's like a slow cancer. It's like a slow cancer. Getting off those things is a nightmare. Getting on them and how you get on them is a freak by nature. It's not happening to people like me. It doesn't happen to people like that are criminals. It happens to people like Lee. Somebody sweet that starts working out, and after 6 months you hurt your ankle, Lee. You were running in North Hollywood, you hurt your ankle, and you were borderline spraying, and you start doing some Vicodins, and you start liking them, Lee. And then somebody sucks your dick on Vicodin, and you like it even more. You see purple spots, and you see Barney. Now, they give you prescription pills, but you eat them off. You eat them, the 30 they give you, they give you 10, and they give them to you for the last a month, you eat them in 2 days. So this means Lee has to go out into the black market. This means Lee has to call up a guy like me, a decent guy, Lee. He's an editor. He has a fucking job with benefits. He has to call a dirty guy like me and go, Joey, can you get me Vicodins? And one of those days, you're driving to get your Vicodins, you're going to get pulled over. And you're going to have 10 Vicodins in a baggie. And you're going to have a prescription for them, but it's not going to be the ones in the baggie. And you're going to go to jail. And you create this domino effect. Here's Lee, this sweetheart of a guy who would never harm anybody, never did an illegal drug in his life, never. Still not doing a legal drug with the fucking Vicodin. It's legal. But this is how easy it is. It's not dirty people who get caught up on Vicodins and Percocets and codeine pills. It's not. It's people who come from decent family who believe their doctor.
It's exactly. It's people that have a medical problem at some point and go to a doctor. It's people with insurance, people that have a doctor to go to and get a prescription, and that's how it starts.
Yeah, well, I went
to the innocent.
I went to the doctor yesterday, and I had bronchitis a year or two ago when Joey gave me hash, and they gave me codeine that time, and when they were giving me medicine yesterday, I was going to ask for codeine, but I decided not to even ask for it. Because I was like, I don't want them to, like, set off an alarm and I'm going to get arrested for it, or I don't know. So I just didn't ask for it.
You know, now they got it monitored. Yeah, they look for that. They got it monitored. You can't buy a lot of over-the-counter shit no more. They monitor. That's why I get scared to go buy the nose sprays.
You know, yeah.
I always buy them two at a fucking time when I go in. But I'm always petrified that they're going to put me on computer or something like that, which they do. You know, they have everything on computer. So it just makes sense how the addiction process starts in this country. It's not starting on the street with some black guy with a hat on. It's not. The biggest problem we have with doctors, and that's what happens, our belief in the doctors. And I'm not saying doctors are bad people. I'm just saying that accidents happen, and sometimes you might take two of the pills. You're supposed to take one, and next thing you know, you're at a fucking party with a feather up your asshole. Vicky Pezza, what do you got next on your agenda? Talk to me.
Well, there's two things coming up. There's a big Naughty Show Live at the Comedy Store on February 20th.
Oh, right.
Morgan Murphy's going to be on it. Joe DeRosa, Tiffany Haddish is going to be pretty awesome. And I'm not in that. I run that from backstage. I keep it organized. I keep Sam from blowing his brains out. Try to keep him focused on the show. So that's coming up if you're in L.A. And if you are in the Whittier area in California, on March 7th, I'm doing stand-up at this place called the Ultra Lounge. It's at the Radisson Hotel. So I've never been down there before. I'm going to check it out. So March 7th, come see me tell jokes if you're around.
You're beautiful.
Churchgoers.
You're beautiful, Vicky Pez. I'm happy you fucking called in today. I missed you. I want to talk to my Jersey girl and just keep me afloat. Twit me. Let me know what's happening in your life.
Oh, always. And like I told you, Rick Shapiro said hi. A lot of Jersey people here. I really love it.
Yeah, I'm going to call Rick today. I'm going to see if he calls into the podcast on Wednesday. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, he would love that.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him.
Oh, and I saw pictures of, because that's what made me think of it. Over the past few weeks, I had seen pictures of both of you guys on the set of Marin. So I guess you guys are going to be on Marin, which is going to be fucking awesome.
When was Shapiro on Marin? Was he on recently?
That might have been like a few weeks ago. I think it's not out yet, season two, but I saw some pictures from set. So it's like, I've just been seeing like all people I love, like all these pictures coming out. I'm like, oh, fuck, season two is going to be so fucking good.
Yeah,
Season one was great. But.
Yeah, Mark took care of me, and there's good writers, Duncan Birmingham, they're good guys, so they took good care of me.
Yeah,
so
my friend Dave Anthony works on that show.
Yeah, and they're good people, man. I was really, you know, I emailed Mark and he emailed me back yesterday, and I was in shock. I'm still fucking have a residual high from that show. I really, really do. Usually I do an acting show and I just move on with my life. That one hit me a little harder because it was Mark.
Right.
And it was a guy that was me. You know, we all had nothing going on, and now he has so much going on. So I want to congratulate him again. And now he's taking care of his friends, season two.
Well, that's what I
fucking
really
amazing.
Love. And that's what's so great about watching that show.
I mean, when I did it with Moshe Kasheria. I did it with
awesome.
A bunch of motherfuckers that were cool. So I can't wait for the episode to come out either. But Vicky, I love you. Have a great weekend.
Thank
you for calling in.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Mama.
Bye.
Bye. Let me give some shout-outs real quick before I give a shout-out to my motherfucking sponsors. Lebanon Larry, Jordan Kopeck with the Cocaine Kids, Joel Gogol, Wes Gaia, Rob Urubai, my brother Rob, a.k.a. Abhubi, a.k.a. Urubai, a 10th Planet Capo and Soldier, Miguel Ponce, and Timothy Ava, some shit like that. I don't know what the fuck his name is. I want to give some shout outs to my sponsors. I want to welcome the newest one, who I already got emails about and people telling me the truth, that escapepodtank.com. Let me tell you something. It's affordable and high quality flotation tanks. You get $250 off when you mention my name. Go to the fucking pod. Go over to their webpage, all right? Escapepodtank.com. Take a look at the different options you have. You have the heavy-duty tank. You have the commercial tank. See what works for you. Whatever works for you, listen, I still haven't floated yet. I'm going to be on Rogan's podcast Thursday, and I'm going to talk to him about floating and where I need to go. But I hear it's fucking tremendous. It relaxes you. It recuperates you. It gives you a great state of being. You know, you smoke a half a number. You go in the tank. You lock it. It's the water is like 98 degrees, the same as your skin, so you don't feel it. They fill it with fucking Epsom salt. It's tremendous. You're going to have a great time. Go to escapepodtank.com. See what they got available. I guarantee if you're looking at a tank for your home, your business, whatever the fuck you got, your garage, you go with this company because you're going to save money. You're going to get at wholesale prices. Plus, mention the church, mention Joey Diaz, mention Lee Syatt, and you get yourself fucking $250 off. They ship it to you. If you want them to come fly in and build a rack for you to jump in, whatever. They'll do that for you. They will do whatever it takes to satisfy the company and save you money. Go to escapepodtank.com today. Also, my favorite people who listen. Let me tell you something, you fucking momos. Enough, because I know the percentage of people who listen to this thing are men. Enough with the stupidity. Dollar Shave Club. You're going to sit there with a rusty razor. You got time to go down to a fucking pharmacy and stand online with a bunch of momos to spend fucking money on overpriced razors? No, you fucking don't. No, you fucking don't. This is what you do. You go to fucking joeydiaz.net. You go to the Dollar Shave Club patch. You click on, what are you putting there?
Church.
And you get a tremendous fucking deal. You get either $1 a month, you get either $6 a month or you get $9 a month, correct?
Correct.
Fixed income. Not to do that. You could also order the one white fucking Charlie's and you could also get the shaving butter, which is tremendous. I just reordered it because it keeps it smooth. It got rid of some of the fucking scars. I just got my first ingrown hair in fucking years. So there you have it right there. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Go to the Dollar Shave Club banner in my webpage, joeydiaz.net. Or go to dollarshaveclub.com, press in
church
in the fucking box, and get your fucking special deal today. Why you're not getting these is beyond me. They get delivered right to your door. Hulu Plus, are you fucking kidding me or what? Half years of listening to this, so you're into entertainment. You're into movies, you're into TV shows, you're into documentaries. Ba-bam! That's where Hulu Plus comes in. You get 2 free weeks to sample it. When was the last time a chick sucked your dick for free, and then ask you, when was the last time a Coke dealer gave you a little bit of Coke and said you got it for free? Nobody does that. If you go to the Hulu Plus fucking website, they give you 1 week for free. If you're a Joey Diaz fucking listener, you get 2 weeks on the arm fucking gratis. Boom. For free. And after that, it's
$7.99 a month.
Boom. That's what? $96 a year to get the best in entertainment. Whether it's television shows, whether it's fucking films, or whether it's documentaries, whether it's original fucking programming. That's how we do it here, all right? And last but not least, let me tell you what I did last week. Last week was one of the best weeks for me ever, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I had 5 workouts. I went to 3 kettlebell classes where I did deadlifts and all of them and double fucking cleans. And I went to 2 jiu-jitsu classes. I went to a fucking Tuesday class, and I went to a Friday night fucking beginner class at GMAC. I never did 5 fucking workouts, even when I was in testosterone. Do you know why I got to do 5 workouts? I'm going to tell you people why, honestly. It was because of the protein powder and because of the fucking shroom tech. I can tell you I take all these products, and I take stevia, and I snort it, and I take the fucking... No, I stick to what I fucking know. Alpha Brain and shroom tech. That fucking shroom tech sport, if you're having a problem in jiu-jitsu, you're having a problem with your fucking kickboxing class, you're having a problem at the fucking gym on the Stairmaster, do me a favor. Just get one thing of shroom tech sport. Just one. Give it a fucking try. Go to onit.com. Go to Joey Diaz. What are you pressing the box?
Church.
You get 10% off. Not only that, they have stayonit.com where they come directly to your fucking mailbox, just like Dollar Shave Club, and you get 20% off savings. They also have a sweepstakes they're running. The thing ends February 28th. Go to onit.com. Look at this chick with her titties banging. She comes out. Ooh, Lee, what would you do to that? Would you hit her in the fucking ass with a yarmulke? Absolutely. Go to onit.com. go to joeydiaz.net, go to the Honor Box Pressing
Church,
and get 20% off the fucking price. I'm telling you right now, dog, I'm no better than you. I'm walking around at 300 fucking pounds. I'm 50 years old. I'm going to be 50 fucking 1 years old. I'm rolling around with guys half my fucking age who choke me the fuck out. I didn't say nothing about choking people out. That's completely different. I said about lasting the whole class and making it home and then going home and making a fucking hemp force protein shake and putting some glutacore in there so your muscles don't ache and you're all allowed to go in there the next day. Trust me, I'm 50 fucking one, guys. I'm fucking heavier than half of you motherfuckers. Go to honor.com, go to the fucking box press
church
and get the fucking 20% off. Go try Shroom Tech. Go try the immune for your fucking, so you don't get the flu like this fucking gagoots. And go get the fucking sports. So once you're healthy, you can run around and do fucking jumps and shit like that. You hear my stomach, it's growling. But at 5:30 this morning, I had a hemp force protein shake with two scoops. So I doubled the fucking protein powder, and I put the fucking thing, and it still lasted in there. I'm telling you, on it, Hulu Plus, fucking
Dollar Shave Club,
and EscapePodTank.com. They're the ones we're backing today. Get your shit together, cocksuckers. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit together, motherfuckers. It's Monday, February 10th, the day the devil was buried at sea, and you're sitting there thinking about how bad my life is. I don't have money for fuck you, bitch. There's always a fucking alternative. That's because you sat there the last fucking month and jerked around. Now you can't get your fucking girl not even a lollipop on fucking Friday. Get it together. Time is running out, bitches. You ain't got this shit. What am I even talking about? I love when I just go on a stupid fucking rant.
Me too. Everyone.
So we got to go look at the office this week, tomorrow.
Yep.
I got a key. You got to make an extra one for yourself and shit like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I got an itch right on my ass cheek. Tremendous. I love it. I got to spray like an antifungal on my asshole every once in a while. It gets itchy down there. What are you going to do? Water and soap just don't help.
Baby powder.
I baby powder too, but then you have a conglomeration of stuff down there. I don't want no barnacles around my asshole. I want it to be direct. Gotta get healthy, Lee. No more fucking coughing. You understand?
I know. Fuck.
You're killing me here. I'm coughing because of the weed. You're not even smoking weed, so we gotta get it together.
I basically am smoking weed in this room. But, yeah.
What, are you gonna hit me with the secondhand smoke? Should I hit you with a microphone now?
I get high in this room with you. You're a
soldier of fucking death. How do you get high in this room?
I do.
How do you get high in this room?
Because you smoke fucking four joints during the fucking
hour and a half. I didn't smoke four joints. I smoked one fucking joint. I just hit it two or three times. You're slipping on me. Once we move into the office, you're not even going to drive there in the morning. You're going to run over there in the morning. You're going to run there and back. You're going to be 3-4 mile Charlie. You're going to get healthy. You're going to go on 100 products. You're going to take some fucking Shroom Tech. That's it. It's over. The party's over.
I can't wait.
You're going to do jumping. Your head's going to get all small again, like when you were juicing and your eyes were all creepy and shit. Look at that picture on Twitter. You're all creepy, your eyes and shit. Your fucking head is all small. Take a picture now. Your head don't fit in that frame no more. You outgrew it. All you guys, your little cheek, your little nose and shit. That's when your little head was tiny and shit. Like a little, like that midget from fucking, what's his name?
Wee Man?
Not Wee Man. The other midget from that
movie. Oh, Vern Troyer, Mini-Me?
Yeah, he had a little fucking head just like you. I had a good weekend, though, and I'll tell you why I had a good weekend, because I wrote a lot. And I was writing about my last, you know, because I'm writing about the things that made me become a man, you know. And it's so weird how sometimes I was breaking your balls about a year ago about watching football on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bunch of emails. People were like, leave the fucking kid alone. That's the only thing that keeps him together. And I wasn't looking at it like that because I enjoyed watching sports too growing up. I would sit there for fucking hours and watch basketball or baseball and football. But it was one day I had to make a decision. Do I want to be broke or do I want to watch football?
Yeah.
You know, that's how it came about to me, you know. With me, my life wasn't simple. It's not like I figured this shit out on my own. I had an option to take, you know. And so now I know that people survive without it. That's why I was busting your balls and people were going, well, I got to watch football and something. No, you don't. You survive without it. After a while, you realize that at night, when you sit there and watch the highlights from all the games, that's it.
That's all you need, yeah.
That's all you fucking need. You know that after a while. It's just tough to... So that time that you sat there for 3 hours watching the game, you could have been working on your term paper. You could have been working on high school homework, whatever the fuck. And I learned it the hard way, you know? And it's so weird. I was telling you the story, and I spoke to George about it. I called George right away, and I go, George, man, I was leaving anyway. I was leaving anyway. Like, I already had a decision. Like, tomorrow morning. There's a couple flights. There's one at 1. There's one at 4. I don't know which one I'll take, but I definitely know I'm leaving. In those days, you didn't have to make reservations like now.
Or you could just go.
You could just show, and especially this airline that we call People's Express. I'd spoken about this before. They only flew to a. Did you just fart?
No. I was laughing.
And it was one of those places that you just had to fucking show up. Send FTD flowers.
Are you reading a junk email?
No. Somebody had emailed me and I didn't know what the fuck it was. I'm just looking at it. Send FTD flowers. Go fuck yourself. That's what FTD means. Fuck your flowers. So I was leaving the next day anyway. And I went out and I bumped into that kid that called the podcast one time, Julio Rodriguez. And we were cousins growing up. And all of a sudden he came up to me. I went up to him to shake his hand. And he was very cold to me. He was telling me how my stepfather was looking for me, that I had fucked up. That, you know, a couple people were looking for me, that I should get my life together. And he walked out of there. So I got really all paranoid. I'm like, we got to get out of here. I mean, there was no cell phones in those days. He had to walk to a payphone and call somebody and then leave a message and then they'd call him back. So if he went to call somebody, I had time to get out of there. But when I got outside, I seen another friend of mine. She was going down there to have a drink and she came up to me after this guy told me this and said, hey, those people are looking for you for that fucking drug deal that you did. They gotta fucking beat you up. So here I get two stories, and then I basically go home and I go to bed and I wake up the next morning. I'm headed to the airport and I see somebody else was looking for me, and he tells me the next time he sees me he's gonna shoot me. And it's just amazing how that night I went home and I was crying, because the reality was I was leaving. I had to fucking leave, you know. And it broke my heart. The last thing I wanted to do, Lee, and I state my case to today, was ever leave New York City. I don't ever want somebody to say, oh, well, Joey was smart, he left. No, I left because I had to leave. But something else came to me that night that I had to leave because of two other reasons. I also knew I had to leave because I wasn't going to grow there.
Yeah.
I would never grow there. I was so surrounded with drugs and the crime lifestyle, and I had such a woe is me mentality at that time. And I see it sometimes when I talk to people on emails. I got a bunch of emails last night. This is what I was going into when I got it, that I got some great emails last night about people copying to their addiction. But I got a lot of woe is me emails, and it made me think of that when I wrote into the book, because I had that woe is me mentality. As much as you guys will never believe that about me, I had that mentality. Really, I had the woe is me and the addiction and the if somebody will help me mentality. So I was a tough fucking person to be around. You know, it's a tough person to be around.
Yeah.
And what made me become a man, what made me really move forward, what made me walk into a square door without a triangle around me, like I told on the Joe Rogan podcast about that luggage, was for me to lose the woe is me mentality.
Yeah.
The losing.
It's hard. It's easy to have that mentality.
Jesus Christ, it's fucking easy to have it. But to lose it is so fucking hard. But I grew so much that night. I didn't leave New Jersey because those people were looking for me. I left New Jersey because I knew I finally had come into some money. And if I didn't leave now, I would never leave. And I knew I would die there. So it was so weird in this book that I'm writing. How I wrote that sometimes your life, you know, you already have a decision. Something just helps you make that decision a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So I want people to keep that in mind today, that, you know, lose the woe is me fucking bullshit. You know, I know times are bad and I know that you must have had a bad week. I know society sucks and the church sucks and Pavarotti sucks and the Grammys suck and woe is, you know, bad whatever's off TV and... But you know what? Woe is me gets you fucking nowhere. And it really made a man out of me, losing that woe is me. So for the people who wrote me the emails on addiction and shit, I love that you sent me the pictures, the emails. There was a bunch of people who sent me the woe is me. I love you, and I love you for listening, but do me a favor. Lose it, and your life's going to fucking move forward fucking easily as fuck.
Because you waste so much time doing it.
Yeah, you really do.
Because you can go all day telling everybody the same story. And if you just spend that time doing. Like, I mean, everyone does it, so I'm not saying that, like, if you wrote an email to Joey saying that, I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm just saying.
And no, it wasn't a big woe was me mentality. I could just feel it in some of the emails about the drugs.
That, yeah.
You know, I do drugs because of this reason. And I'll tell you something else. I got the woe. It's funny because I lost the woe is me mentality in 85, but I got it back in like 94 in Boulder when I had the problems with my ex-wife again.
Yeah.
And again, I had to leave again. And I had to realize that I had tucked the woe was me mentality up my asshole, tuck it between my legs, and be a fucking man again. So that's the point of the fucking week. Listen, it's February 10th. Valentine's Day is Friday. We're going to be back on Wednesday. We're going to have tremendous guests. We're going to have a great fucking panel, whatever the fuck we do. And besides that, listen, we want you to have a great day today. We want you to go out there and be prepared. Stab a motherfucker. Be focused. And remember, without love, you got dick. Because if you don't love nothing, you can never be fucking good at it. So get it together, cocksuckers. I love you. Stay black. And have a great day.
And quickly, go to... I have a website now. It's called leesaya.com. So any of the other podcasts that I'm doing with Steve Simone or Rick Ramos or Jerry Rocha, they're all there. So go to leesaya.com. Check those out. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And lastly, go to EscapePodTank.com and get yourself a flotation tank for $250 off.
And you save a bunch of fucking loot. Trust me. Oh, shit. Have a great week, motherfuckers. Uncle Joey loves you. Thank you for listening today.